Ashley, are you on the line?
She will be in one moment.
Thank you.
Good morning,
so much.
Neil. Okay.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Just a sec.
Leslie, you're on with Neil.
Yes. Hi.
Hey, Leslie. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. And you?
Fantastic. I'm in the studio right now. Just stand by.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now? Better?
Yes.
I'm going to be going. Okay. All right. We're going live into the studio right now. Stand by. Stand by.
Okay.
We're ready to go. Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Author's Corner. You can check me out on Twitter, at Total Tutor, and also neilhaley.com. Excited to welcome the program, Vanity Fair writer, best-selling author, Leslie Bennett. She's the author of Last Girl Before Freeway, The Life, Loves, Losses, and Liberation of Joan Rivers. Leslie, thanks for calling. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, why did you write the book about Joan Rivers?
Well,
I've
been profiling the most famous people on the planet for decades, and I have to say that I've never encountered a character that is more complex and fascinating and infuriating and heartbreaking and inspiring than Joan Rivers. She's an amazing character, and her life is really an inspirational tale of the most dramatic highs and lows I think I've ever seen, short of Dickens. And I think that a lot of aspects of it have not been fully recognized by the public. So there was a lot of stuff that was really interesting to bring out that people didn't understand about her.
So after she died, you were saying to yourself, I have to tell the real true story about her. Then what's coming out?
Well, yes. I mean, she's a fantastic character. You know, she had a 60-year career, not just in the entertainment industry, but, you know, she wrote more than a dozen best-selling books. She was a Hollywood screenwriter, a director, a film actress, a stage actress, a Broadway playwright, a Grammy Award-winning recording artist, and the most amazing thing is that after she was ruined in her 50s, her career was destroyed. She found out that she was $37 million in debt because her husband had squandered all her money on bad investments before killing himself. She was unhireable. And, you know, in an age where people talk about reinventing your career, she did it to a more dramatic effect than anyone I've ever seen. Starting in her late 50s and then going on through her 60s and 70s, she built a billion-dollar company.
Wow.
She was the CEO and designer for this company who, you know, she designed jewelry and clothing and sold it on QVC, but it was a billion-dollar company. And, you know, this is a woman who had delegated all financial matters to her husband throughout her marriage of more than 20 years because she thought she wasn't good at that stuff. You know, it was very typical old-fashioned girly, I'm not good at math kind of stuff. And she became this incredible CEO. And then she also, by the way, invented the red carpet as a modern television genre, which is another multi-billion-dollar industry. So
yes.
It's an amazing story of what, I mean, she accomplished all that as a senior citizen, in addition to putting herself back on top in comedy. So it's a pretty extraordinary story. There's a lot for everybody to take away and learn from that, I think.
Well, Leslie, she's a comedic genius, an entrepreneur, things that we just didn't know. She hit rock bottom, lost everything, and then at an older age was able to accumulate success and wealth and prestige and just ideas.
You know, a lot of people keep performing when they're older. And some comics do, but they kind of lose their edge. They tend to recycle material that they were doing 30 years ago. But Joan Rivers stayed on the cutting edge in comedy. When she started out, it was a total boys' club. They did not let the girls in. And she broke down barriers. You know, she just mowed them down as if they were toothpicks. She would not take no for an answer. And, you know, today all the hottest names in comedy are women. She had a profound effect on the entire industry, and up until the very end, she was doing this fearless, cutting-edge comedy that shocked her younger peers because it was so out there. You know, and when she died at 81 from a minor surgical procedure, she was having an endoscopy on her throat because she needed a diagnosis. She'd had some hoarseness,
right.
And it was a botched procedure, and she died. But she went out on top. She had so many millions of, you know, younger fans, people who watched her on Fashion Police and the red carpet and all these things that, you know, came up at the end of her career, as well as all the people who had been following her since the beginning. So it was a career of remarkable, not only longevity, but constant renewal, which is much harder to do.
Now, so how do you think, when you think about this, Leslie, that she was able to develop all this? I mean, comedy, but taking her ability as a comedian into entrepreneur. Performing in other ways. Where do you think she came up with all this? Just stability?
You know, she was one of those people who was an overnight success after beating her head against the wall for 10 years. She had the most discouraging start to her career of anyone I've ever profiled. It was just one rejection after another, people telling her she wasn't talented, she wasn't pretty, she should forget about it, and she just would not give up. And I think the secret to her entire career and life is that her motto was never give up, never quit.
Uh-huh.
And she just refused. And so no matter what obstacles life presented her with, she just fought her way back with a tenacity and a drive that are really unparalleled. When she was 80, you know, and people half her age just couldn't believe her energy and her determination. Yeah. She was flying all over the country to, you know, taking red eyes to perform in some dive bar to do stand-up comedy because she loved it so much and she had such a need for the, you know, applause. In some ways, she was like a junkie. You know, you get addicted to that, and it's a very intense form of love to get the, you know, the love of the fans. And she never wanted to give it up.
What do you think infuriated? You talked about all these different things you admired about her, but what infuriated you covering her? What do you think?
Well,
I was conflicted
when I first thought about doing this book because, you know, Joan Rivers was, she built a lot of her early humor on trashing other women. She was slut-shaming and fat-shaming other famous women before those terms were even invented. And when she first became really famous, a lot of it was propelled by her fat jokes about Elizabeth Taylor. When Elizabeth Taylor gained weight in middle age, Joan Rivers had always been jealous of Elizabeth Taylor because they were about the same age, but Elizabeth Taylor was so beautiful. She was a child star, and she was a major movie star by the time she was a teenager, and Joan Rivers always was furious that she wasn't born beautiful because she felt that beauty was this unfair advantage that some women had. And so she was quite cruel to other women. She made fun of society's double standards towards women, but she also helped to perpetuate them, you know. So those aspects to her are, you know, problematic, but she was very much a product of the culture that she was raised in. Kathy Griffin, the comedian, said to me she always used to tease Joan because Joan would say, didn't want to be described as a feminist. And Kathy Griffin would say, don't be ridiculous. You're the biggest hypocrite in the world. Of course you're a feminist. Your entire life is a monument to women's equality and opportunity. And Joan would say, it's not good to be associated with that. I can see those ticket sales flying out the window, you know. So there were a lot of contradictions in the way that she experienced her own life. But they're fascinating because they reflect the contradictions in our larger culture.
Absolutely. It just sounds like a very, very interesting book about her life. A lot of things you just touched upon that I didn't know about her and other people will learn, and also things that she didn't do right. And anyone's life, you look at their entire life, it's not always perfect. But the way she got on top...
No, she certainly wasn't perfect, but I have to say that she had such courage and determination that even when you're just appalled at the things she said or did, you have to admire her. She had enormous strength. And I think there's a lot for us all to learn from her example. I felt as though spending a couple of years looking into her life and writing about it, it really enriched my life because whenever I feel like giving up on something or whenever I'm discouraged or I've encountered setbacks, I always think to myself, well, Joan Rivers would never have given up, you know, and then I remind myself to persevere, you know. And that's a big gift that she can give you, you know. That's what I hope people will take away from this book.
Absolutely, and I think about it all the time is, you know, never give up even when the obstacles are against us. A lot of times we're not successful or we're not able to accomplish what we want to accomplish because in our mindset we believe we can't. Joan refused
absolutely
to do that.
And, you know, and the other thing, you know, the title, Last Girl Before Freeway, that was an iconic Joan Rivers joke. She used to joke that her parents were so desperate to get her married off that they put up a sign in their front yard saying Last Girl Before Freeway because they were just trying to find a husband for her. And she grew up at a time when girls were taught that they had to, you know, marry well and find a husband, and that was how they defined their lives. And the truth is that it was only, you know, it was a tragedy that her husband killed himself when she was in her 50s. But the truth is that she had her own best success and best life after she was liberated from all of that, from trying to be a dutiful wife. He really wrecked her career because he was her producer, and he was not a good producer. And so she's also a really great sort of living, you know, breathing embodiment of the ways that the women's movement freed women from all of those do's and don'ts about how you were supposed to run your life. She became a lot of things, including, you know, a businesswoman and a mogul in her later life that she never thought she was capable of. But it was only after she struck out on her own that she was able to do that. So she's also a great example of, you know, women freeing themselves from all of the strictures of the past that, you know, that bind them to, you know, outmoded ways of looking at things. She really accomplished an awful lot when she got over all that.
All right, well, fantastic. We can purchase the book anywhere, all finer bookstores. And where can we find information on you, Leslie? Is there a place we can find information on you as well?
Yes, I have a website, which is Leslie, LeslieBennetts, BENNETTS.com, and it has lots of information about the book and about my many years of, at Vanity Fair and the New York Times and links to articles in my previous book, The Feminine Mistake, which is about women giving up work and what that does to them. So there's lots of information there as well.
Thank you, Leslie. Thanks for calling. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay. See you. Bye-bye. You're listening to Author's Corner. We'll be back in just a moment.